On the morning of December 23, 1991, in the town of Corsicana, Texas, a fire destroyed the home of Cameron Todd Willingham and his wife, Stacy. All three of their young children died in the fire. After local authorities determined that Willingham had deliberately started the fire and charged him with triple homicide, a jury sentenced him to death. And then, while Willingham was on death row, a woman named Elizabeth Gilbert struck up a friendship with him, and she ended up uncovering extensive evidence that suggested Willingham was not guilty of the crime and that the fire had started accidentally. Despite that new evidence, the state of Texas executed Willingham in 2004. Here's then-Governor Rick Perry speaking about the case in 2010.
I'm very comfortable that the science was
right.
Good and that the justice dispense was good.
Right.
And that we don't have and have not executed an innocent person. Right.
Trial by Fire is a new movie released last week, and it tells Willingham's story. Actor Laura Dern plays Gilbert in the film. I sat down with Dern and screenwriter Jeffrey Fletcher to talk about the movie, and we started out by discussing their choice not to shy away from Willingham's personal flaws, including a history of domestic abuse.
To trust that part of the storytelling, to never pull back and never try to make him into something that he wasn't, allows us as an audience to do what so many do every day with wrongful incarceration, profiling people of color and profiling people who are in extreme poverty and can't fight back and can't defend themselves. And so we as an audience we're already making judgments from the get-go. And one judgment does not lead to atrocity, you know? And it's a really interesting position to put us in, I think.
Was part of it wanting to reshape perceptions of the death penalty itself and who it affects? Because in this case, there is evidence that Willingham may have been innocent. So was that part of the thinking behind it?
I believe the evidence also points to the fact that the death penalty is administered unfairly, and this story presented an opportunity for all of us to examine our impulse to assume guilt and all those prejudices involved. You know, as Brian Stevenson, the director of the Equal Justice Initiative, said, "We have a system of justice that treats you better if you're rich and guilty than if you're poor and innocent."
What if you're black?
Oh, yeah.
We know that that's an added part of the equation, right? I mean, because black inmates make up a disproportionate amount of death row inmates, did that factor into your thinking about whether to focus on this particular story, on Todd's story?
Well, Todd's story is considered a landmark death penalty case because of Justice Scalia's comments. You know, when Todd was executed in 2004 and 2006, Justice Scalia famously wrote, "There was no reason to think that an innocent person had ever been executed because, quote, if such an event had occurred in recent years, we would not have to hunt for it. The innocent's name would be shouted from the rooftops by the abolition lobby."
And to Justice Scalia's comment, the Innocence Project alone has shouted from the rooftops that they've been involved in exonerating 374 people with DNA evidence have been proven innocent who were about to be killed on death row. So what has been proven is there is a margin of human error. And if there is a margin of human error, then per Justice Scalia, we must abolish capital punishment because they've said we would never kill an innocent person or we wouldn't have it. So we can't have it. And we all just can continue a deeper conversation so that we wrestle with our own morality when we look at the choices we have to make and stand up and use our voice when we see injustice.
And injustice is something that we are seeing, I think, quite a bit in society. I think, you know, many of us in the past couple of years, you know, have really looked at these issues and really felt sort of overwhelmed. And one of those things has been the Me Too movement. Laura, you've done a lot of work to end sexual harassment in Hollywood. It's been hard to believe, but it's been almost 2 years since the Harvey Weinstein story first broke. Do you think there has been enough progress made in this issue?
There's never enough progress. We have so much work to do. But authentically being in your voice and sharing your story is the most extraordinary gift you can give humanity, culture, your own healing. And I so respect someone who, from their own trauma, needs to remain private. And that is a brave choice. And it is such a brave choice to stand up and be vocal and name names when you have been sexually harassed or assaulted. And the people who've come forward, men and women, have been extraordinary. And I think within our industry, there is a lot of change. I've been working closely with Screen Actors Guild on a code of conduct. All companies now have a very new code of conduct in terms of expected behavior on set and in the audition process. And I think across all industries, what we're seeing is there is a new level of expected behavior. And abuse of power is not going to fly. But we need to stand together with that mantra.
Want to switch gears just a little bit. Women over a certain age, we're getting used to seeing them on camera and maybe even behind the camera, right? Laura, you've worked in Hollywood for a very long time. Are you seeing that shift? Is age now becoming less of an issue in Hollywood?
I don't think it's less of an issue. Mm-hmm. I just think we're breaking the doors down and we're not going anywhere. So they're just going to have to get used to us. Mm. But I think what's also changing it is, you know, there's so much access to content. And therefore, we're not just looking at a Nielsen rating to tell us who our audience is. We have people watching content in all kinds of mediums and accessing it in so many ways. And now we're getting new and very interesting numbers. And guess what, guys? Women over 40 are high consumers. They are buying your products. They are watching your shows. And they go to the movies. And what we are learning is whether you're selling movies or you're making and selling a product or you're running a restaurant, people want to be seen and heard in this world. And without representation, you fail, you don't make as much money, you don't have a successful boardroom, your stocks go down. If you only are doing it for money, as my daughter who's 14 says, Mom, I don't care. I'm a mixed race girl. If I get in certain rooms because of shame, I'm really comfortable with that. Yeah. Like, I just love the idea that if people are waking up and their goal for representation in their company is it's better for the company, it's better business to have representation, then so be it.
Absolutely. And I always think of Hollywood as a bottom line driven business. But if you look at it, if that is the case, you look at the return on investment from films like Straight Outta Compton, Get Out, Black Panther, Girls Trip, and on and on. And so you have to make these projects to satisfy supply and demand. But to do it authentically, you have to have diversity behind the camera as well. You know, within an audience, there are lie detectors. You cannot get around it.
I want to just get one question in, Jeffrey, sort of taking a little bit of a tangent here. It's about John Singleton, who was a mentor to you early in your career. He just passed away. He was just 51 years old. I'm wondering if you would want to share with us what the loss means to you. I know you've written about this as well.
Yes. We weren't that far apart in age. And he was a fully realized man from so early on. Genuinely wanted to help the industry reach its potential in terms of opportunity and different voices. To whatever degree I'm a discovery, he really discovered me. And I feel like he gave me the chance of a lifetime. And I just wasn't ready for it at the time. He kept his door open to me. And it all started because he saw a short film that I had made in film school. And he wanted to produce the feature version of that with me writing and directing it. And it always bothered me that I wasn't ready. And it bothers me to this day because I feel like I let him down. And shortly before he passed away, I had a project that I wanted to present to him. And you can tell a lot about a person when you almost work with him. Always gracious throughout the years. I'd reach out to him. And his door was always open.
Jeffrey Fletcher is a screenwriter for Trial by Fire, and Laura Dern stars in the film. Thank you both for coming and sharing with us.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Honored to be here.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.